The Old Testament reading for this last Sunday of the church year comes from Isaiah chapter 51. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Jude. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel bound to mention Christopher Jackson here. He's a friend and a pastor currently in Cheesehead Country in Wisconsin. And the basic outline for today's sermon, I just stole from him. So he offered it freely, though, so he's not getting any royalty checks. But his first idea was a staple of fantasy, immortality. There's the simple wish to live forever. Freud so hated Christianity and religion in general, that he dismissed all of it as wish fulfillment of this particular wish. But Freud didn't understand the religious imagination very well. Because even in the ancient Greek myths, you find the story of Tithonus. The goddess Io desired immortality for her mortal lover, and it is granted to her. But it's not granted with eternal youth. So poor Tithonus grows old, experiencing all the aches and pains of this world. Without deliverance, or without even hope of deliverance from it. The simplistic wish was already much more complex in that deep history of ancient Greece. And that says nothing about the ancient Hebrew or the scriptural witness post the fall. After dealing with the specific sin of Adam and Eve and that snake, God says now, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. And then God drives Adam and Eve east of Eden and stations the cherubim and the flaming sword to guard that second special tree. Adam and Eve didn't yet know the reality of a sinful world. One where they knew both good and evil. But God did. And immortality in such a world would not be a blessing, but a curse. It was grace that forced man out of Eden. And we today tell that same story in a multiple different ways. But the most current way is probably the vampire. I'm sorry, not the Twilight vampires who seem to be that simplistic wish fulfillment that Freud pointed at. But even if you look at Anne Rice's Immortals, Armand and Lestat, or almost any of the classics, the vampires realize the curse they are under. Their time passes, but they don't. And even the most creative, like Lestat, who's willing to immerse himself and reinvent himself, drags along the pain of everything lost. And the one unchanging element, the cross, is what brings them the most pain. They've given up eternity for immortality. It's a replay of something that I think Buddhism might have captured most succinctly. Life is suffering. The Bible would capture that in God's punishments of Adam and Eve. In pain, you shall bring forth children. In pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Or in our Old Testament text, Isaiah gives it voice, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. We might naively think about immortality, but that is not what we really want. Not here. Not in this world. Not in this world, even with all of its goodness and glories, for even those are but signs of something greater. The true nature of immortality here would be immortal sufferings, forever thinning and being spread thin. And those signs of goodness and glory would be like the sun, pure misery. to see. That is why this earth and this heaven shall pass away. The sun will be darkened and the moon turned to blood. The stars will be falling from the heavens and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Heaven and earth will pass away. This world, this flesh, is like the tabernacle. It carries the Spirit of God and it witnesses the glories. It participates in the worship of the angels and the archangels and all the hosts of heaven. But it has a set time, our time in the desert. Even the best of this world, like that temple with all of its mighty stones, the temple that replaced the tabernacle, even that comes down. They all have their time, our time under the various kings of this world. But all of those tabernacles and temples, this flesh and the world, would have their time and they'll pass away. And just like being driven east of Eden, this is the grace of God. Because God intends to clothe us not in tabernacles, but in heavenly tents. God intends us not to worship in temples, but the Lamb himself will be present in that new Jerusalem. God intends to give us not something borrowed, but something our own. The resurrection body. That body freed of sin and all of its effects. That body not immortal, but eternal. My salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. My words will not pass away. And those words to you are, your sins are forgiven. Your life has been hidden with Christ. Your name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. You have suffered and been buried with Christ, and you will certainly share in his resurrection. These are his words for you, words that will not pass away. And that hope, something eternal, not the dangerous wish of immortality, is why we watch. The temptation is always to cut our best deal now. Grab our 15 minutes of fame. Make our separate peace with the world. Deceive ourselves that for us it will be different. The devil, the world, and our sinful nature are constantly offering us these deals. And when we feel strung out in the desert like the Israelites, we can be tempted to grumble and think it was so much better back in Egypt. And when we're surrounded by high priests on one side and pilots on another, those who would actively hurt us, or those whose casual cruelty would profane truth and justice, when we're buffeted and badged around by the world, it would seem so easy to give that pinch of salt. But the man who went on a long journey and left his servants in charge gave a different order. Stay awake. You know what the end of all of those deals is. They are destined for the fire. They will be swept away. They are only as immortal as the people who cut them with you. But the master of the house will come. When? Maybe at midnight. Maybe at sunrise. Maybe mid-morning. We don't know. But we do know our job. Watch. Keep the house in order. Jude is specific. Build yourselves up in your faith. Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. He continues, have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Show mercy. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Son of Man comes in power and great glory and will send his angels to gather his elect from the four winds. So stay awake. You want to see that. You want eternity, not this world's versions of immortality. Amen.